Assemblage, King Stefan. Royalty, nobility, the gentry, and... Oh, how quaint. Even the rabble. I really felt quite distressed at not receiving an invitation.
You weren't wanted.
Not what? Oh, dear, what an awkward situation. I had hoped it was merely due to some oversight. Well, in that event, I'd best be on my way.
And you're not offended, Your Excellency?
Why, no, Your Majesty. And to show I bear no ill will, I too shall bestow a gift on the child. Listen well, all of you. The princess shall indeed grow in grace and beauty. Beloved by all who know her. But before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she shall prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die.
Oh, no.
Seize that creature.
Stand back, you fools.
Hello and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
We made it.
Yes.
Y'all don't know this. We were having some serious technical issues, which we hope we've resolved.
Yes.
Unfortunately, now is the time for me to inform you that I have my, what do you want to call that? The air conditioning heater unit died. It's no more. And they are replacing it. The guys are here and they're replacing it. And it's like a massive unit. And it's like right underneath where I'm sitting.
Oh, my goodness.
So apologies for any static or knocking about that you all may be hearing.
It's
we
Maleficent.
Are very excited. It's Maleficent.
She's just
oh no,
us.
We've insulted her. We are a podcast where we cover movies that have been adapted from books. Since we've been in this pandemic time, we've been doing a brand new episode every single week. And so that sometimes means we do shorter literary sources like a novella or a play or even a magazine article or even a song. But this month, we are trying the month of November 2021, in case you're listening to this later, we are trying a brand new listener suggested theme, something we've never done before. We are doing all Disney all November. So every week we're going to have a new Disney book and movie that we're talking about. And we are going to start this week with Sleeping Beauty. But before we get to that, if you enjoy Book Versus Movie and you'd like to interact with us and other listeners of this podcast, there are several places where you can do that on the internet.
We have a basic Facebook page. Definitely like that page. Most of the episodes are posted there. You can also interact with us there. But the best place to interact with the group is at the Book Versus Movie Podcast group. You just type in Book VS Movie Podcast group in Facebook and ask to join. And people just come up with ideas and suggestions for all kinds of things, just like a Disney month, which is like, how on earth did we not think of this before is beyond me. But we've been doing this for 7 years. There you go. We also have on Twitter and Instagram, you type in Book Versus a Movie. You can send us suggestions there. Feel free to send us an email if you like. It's Book Versus Movie Podcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. We have stickers and I think magnets. We have some merch if y'all are interested. Please reach out to us in any of those ways.
That's right. And if you really enjoy the podcast and you would like to help keep us in books and movies, you can support us on Patreon.
Yes, we do have a Patreon page, and there are things there that are for free. So you don't have to sign up if you don't want to, but if you just want to check out some of our old episodes when we first started out the show. But we're starting to put everything up from 2019 and then previous to that up on the wall. So you go to Patreon and you type in Book VS Movie Podcast, and we are very, very grateful for your generous support. It helps us pay for the hosting costs and the Sprout socials and all the other things that are, you know, that are part of the show. So thank you so much.
So we've just wrapped up the month of October. And again, for those of you who are new, every year for the month of October, we do spooky books and movies. We had some really fun books and movies that we'd never done before that we did this past October. And now we are launching our Disney November. And I was trying to come up with some like cutesy, gimmicky way to, I can't come up with anything. I haven't been able to. My brain is failing me, but I thought it was very funny that the first Disney movie that we're doing is the one that frightened me the most. As to, like, we could easily have done this last month. This is the, of all the Disney movies, this one, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, also scared me a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But Sleeping Beauty terrified me. And I was telling you last time, you know, I'm a Southern Californian, so I've been going to Disneyland since birth. And my parents, in fact, my parents were high school sweethearts. And so they went to Disneyland when they were, you know, high school seniors for their, it was like your senior trip. You would go to Disneyland. I forget, they call it grad night or something like that.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, remember, you know, Disneyland was brand new. but anyway, I was even scared of the castle, the Sleeping Beauty castle, which is the very center of Disneyland. Like when you see the Disney logo, that's the castle. That's like the Tinkerbell flies over, puts her little magic pixie dust on. I was really scared of that castle because this movie scared me so much. I think one of the things, now that I've watched it as an adult, one of the things that scared me was that it was so confusing. We'll get to that.
Yeah, it was a weird production. There was a lot. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we talk about the film. But it's based on a creepy story, too.
It is based on a creepy story. Let's talk about our fascinating author.
Charles Perrault is our author, excuse me. He was born January 12th, 1628. He lived to be 75 till 1703. That's actually pretty rare for the time. He grew up in the French noblige. He was the bourgeoisie. He's wealthy. He was a rich kid. And he
was a rich guy. And thus he had a cushy government career. And quite something.
Yes. And he did it until he was 67, which at the time was very, very old. And they basically kicked him out like, no, we got to put somebody else in here. And he had all this education and he had this love for stories and fairy tales and legends and things like that. They said, fine, I'll take up writing. And he started writing children's books. Some of them include, and this was all in French, but yeah, Little Red Riding Hood, Puss in Boots, Sleeping Beauty, and Bluebeard. 100 years later, they were...
And Cinderella, too, I think,
Cinderella, sorry, yes, that's right there. 100 years later, the German versions from the Brothers Grimm did interpretations of this. So let's go back even more. The printing press comes out in the 1400s, okay? That changes everything, because before then, how did you tell stories? You talked. You drew on walls. You know, it was about cooking, it was about dancing, it was music, it was all these ways of telling stories. And these, what they would call folk tales at the times, he sort of coined the idea of a fairy tale. And it is magical and it's a supernatural element. And in the original versions of, and there's been several versions of Sleeping Beauty. It's kind of hard to find the etymology. This is a great time, by the way, to say we're not experts. People study Charles Perrault, I'm sure, for their Indeed. College careers I'm, or their careers.
They I can't imagine that they don't.
Yes.
He's, you know, probably in like sociology majors, your history majors, your literature majors. Yeah, all these fairy tales that we grew up with we owe to him. But no, we are not. We do not have degrees in any of those fields.
Any of these things. So just understand, and we're not Disney experts as much as we're buffs.
Yeah.
So just keep in mind, we kind of provide a broad overview. We have to be kind of a mini expert on everything, so we can't know everything. But anyway, so there are these tales that come out, and he's part of that movement, and they become, what he does is he takes, some of these tales are very, very dark, such as Sleeping Beauty, where there's various versions of why she's put to sleep, but often what happens is that she wakes up pregnant or gave birth already, which is
not the Disney take on things. No.
So the one, it's a, he called it La Belle au Bois Dormant, which is Little Briar Rose, Sleeping Beauty. And he gave her the name Little Briar Rose. And then there's the German, and then there's the Sleeping Beauty in the Woods. She is a girl that there are seven fairies that are around her when she's born. She has a younger brother, and then she's like really beautiful, and she has these fairies that give her powers.
And this book, we should say, is very easy to find. I got it on the Libby app.
Yeah.
It's super easy to get at your local library. When I was a little girl, I had forgotten this until I read this version of this story this week. But when I was a little girl, I had a pop-up book of this version of the story. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was, I think actually it was a pop-up book of the Tchaikovsky ballet, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Anyway, the story, and I had so forgotten, this is why I'm Team Maleficent.
Oh, well, me too, by the way.
And we'll get to that. I mean, her name, she has that name in the story, but in the original story, or at least the original story is told by Charles Perrault. They have the little princess. Sometimes there's a brother, sometimes not. They throw a baptism, you know, it's her christening, which is not in the Disney movie either, it's a christening, but it's a christening. And they invite, is it six fairies?
It's like
six fairies, and she's the seventh.
Yeah, there's seven all together, and she's the one that's jealous because the other ones are getting more attention or they're...
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that. Yeah. Because in the book, this was the first one when I was like, oh, I'm Team Maleficent. in the book, they invite these six lovely, beautiful fairies, and they're going to come and be the godparents to the little princess. And they don't invite the seventh, who we call Maleficent in the movie. They don't invite her because she's old. She's been around 50 years, you know. And as those of us who have been around about that time, you become invisible. And they're like, oh, yeah, oh, we forgot all about you. And then they basically do that really, I don't know why people even bother doing this. Where like you get called out where you forgot to invite somebody. Mm-hmm. And then the person says, oh, well, feel free to come. You know, that's basically what they did there. They gave her a feel free to come to the christening. Maleficent, we're sorry, we forgot all about you. You know, we were so preoccupied with the younger, prettier fairies. but please feel free to come. So she's like, okay. You know, she swallows her pride and she goes. Turns out, like, they invited these six fairies to be the godparents. And so they ply them with all these extravagant gifts. You know, they lay out this beautiful banquet. Oh, we better, like, oh, we'll set a place for you, Maleficent. Don't worry. You know, like, we're not planning for her to come at all. And each of the fairies is presented with a solid gold box in which there is cutlery, special cutlery for them to use at this special banquet, which again was a big deal, was a fairly new thing, modern cutlery in those days. So they presented it in this beautiful solid gold presentation box. But of course, they'd only made six of them. So this woman is getting slapped in the face right and left.
Lots of shade being thrown.
It is just, I don't blame her in the least. So that now it's time. And then they have the nerve to ask her for a freaking gift. then it's time to present gifts to the new baby. And so all the other little fairies line up and five of them give their gifts. She will be beautiful. She will never want for anything. Everybody will love her. She will be kind, yada, yada. And before the last fairy can go, poor Maleficent is like fed up. Like, I cannot believe the nerve of these people. You did not invite me to your party. Then you give me like some backhanded, feel free to come. And then you give everybody else presents that you don't have for me. And you don't have a place set for me at the table even. And now you're asking me for a freaking gift. Are you kidding me? She's like, I got a gift for you. When this kid turns 16, she's going to cut her finger on a spindle and die. There's your gift.
That's pretty much it. And, you know, she grows up to be pretty. She grows up to be kind. She grows up singing. She grows up being very nice around animals, and everybody loves her. And she also, when she's 16, pricks her finger. And
yeah, but she doesn't die.
She doesn't die because
she doesn't die.
One of the fairies put a spell on her that she would fall asleep and that way she won't get hurt. But the problem was everybody else was still awake.
Right.
So her father was like, okay, let's all go to sleep. And then when she wakes up, she won't be alone.
Right. Well, it isn't just that she falls asleep. In the book and in the ballet, too, I think, she falls asleep for 100 years.
Right, I was getting to that.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, the parents are like, what are we going to do? That's no good.
Well, just sleep.
I think altogether, these parents, this king and queen, they're not people who think things through, I think, is the takeaway here.
It's very odd. And then so she wakes up and there's a prince for her and he is just gobsmacked because she's gorgeous. She's over 116 years old. She wears old fashioned clothing. No one's perfect, you know.
Yeah.
He falls in love with her and Maleficent they get married. And then there's no Maleficent. They get married and they have kids. And that's where they meet. Is it his mother-in-law? It's like there's an ogress who's in charge.
There is an ogre. Yeah, I think it's Sleeping Beauty's Aurora. And I think her name is Aurora in the original story. The handsome prince's mother, right? He's an ogre.
Yeah. He's part ogre. So that's the kids are part ogre, too. And then the mother wants to eat the kids. And so she says, hey, make me some mutton and Randy over there. Let me just have them for lunch. And so they trick her and they cook a goat. And then she's like, that was delicious. Now send me the other one. And so they put a lamb in there instead.
That was so good. I'm going to eat my other grandchild.
Yeah, that was crazy delicious. And they then ordered to kill the princess. And that's when people are really like, no. The prince is like, no. This is unacceptable. This ruse is over. And basically they killed her. And I think they ate her too, but they killed the ogre. And then after that, the prince and the kids and everybody was living happily ever after. And that's sort of the end. It's very quick. It's a very quick read. It's the original illustrations are beautiful that you'll see.
Oh, they're really pretty.
They're stunning.
They are really great. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it's wondering like what is the moral here? Because he had one with Little Red Riding Hood. He was trying to protect women from men. Like wolves are men.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And he says the worst wolf is a tame wolf. And he's right about that, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So I don't know what the moral is here.
I don't either. I'm reading this book and I had forgotten the whole thing about the after he wakes her up and they have the kid. I had forgotten all of that. Although I knew I had read it when I was a kid. And yeah, especially when that started happening, I was like, what? They're supposed to be happily ever after now, right? And now we got this ogre to deal with and it's his mom and they're going to kill her. And
eat
what?
The kids first.
And eat the kids where she's going to eat the kids. And nobody thought to maybe do something about this. They're going to leave the mom alone with these, with
part ogre. Okay. We covered Shrek a couple of years ago. I mean, they're not all great.
No. I mean, the only takeaway for me is you got to either invite all of the fairies or none of them.
Exactly. It's an all or none situation. All the kids are invited to the birthday party or none of the kids in your class are invited.
Yes.
That's the way it was in my house.
I think this was the moral of this was about being a good host. Being a good and gracious host.
Don't piss off a fairy.
And not making people... don't invite, half-ass invite somebody and then ask them for a gift when they show up. Don't do that.
Don't, yes. Yeah. Mm-mm. This is the 1600s. This story is adapted many, many, many times. The basic gist of it is adapted several times, including by Tchaikovsky, a very popular ballet that's played around Christmas time every year. And it's beautiful music. It's stunning.
Oh, it's really, I mean, you just won't forget it when you hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to take a Pilates class with a Russian woman, and at Christmas time, she would play that as the music. Oh, it was so cool. It was really cool. But then, so here we have...
That's awesome.
It was great. It was a wonderful memory. It was like snowing outside. It was like, oh, it was amazing. So forward to 1959. This is when the movie comes out. It took forever for Disney to put these things together. People painted every single frame. They wrote and Years. Rewrote everything. Yes. Now, what were the brothers that did the other Disney movie that did the soundtrack?
Ooh, we were just talking about them. We just talked about them. The Mary Poppins one.
Yes.
And they wrote Let's Get Together, that was not their finest moment.
Yeah. Look that up.
I'm looking it up.
In this case, they were inspired by Tchaikovsky. The music is by George Bruns, B-R-U-N-S. And he sort of adapts lyrics to the Tchaikovsky music, kind of like what they do with Warner Brothers cartoons, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit, that sort of thing. It took many, many years. Disney said in 1950 he wanted to start it. I think this is the 16th Disney animation film, and they were all doing really well. One that was the most popular, I guess, with the time was Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. That one just knocked everyone's socks off, and we'll probably cover that one day. We're going to have to. And this is sort of like mining that field. You have a princess, you have a prince, you have problems, you have a witch, and then we need to bring them back together again. I think it's missing.
Yeah, the music is a big fail here. It's the Sherman Brothers we were trying to think of
Thank
earlier.
You, sorry.
This is decidedly, this isn't even Let's Get Together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
no,
wish it
that's
were.
That's brilliant in comparison.
I would like to, if I may, if you'll indulge me.
Yes.
So they went around and around with the music. And it must have been, I can't imagine how bad it must have gotten. And eventually Disney's like, why don't we just use this Tchaikovsky music and you guys write some lyrics to that. These are the lyrics to the opening theme.
I posted a Facebook group too.
Of Disney's Sleeping Beauty, if I may. I know you, I walked with you once upon a dream. I know you, the gleam in your eyes is so familiar. A gleam. Yet I know it's true that visions are seldom all they seem. But if I know you, I know what you'll do. You'll love me once the way you did once, once upon a dream. The gleam in your eyes is so familiar. A gleam?
I forgot. You know what? I'm going to play the trailer.
Okay, cool.
This is the longer trailer, by the way.
Okay, good.
Joyfully now to our princess we come, bringing gifts and all the wishes to reflect our loyalty anew. Hail Aurora, hail Aurora.
Sleeping Beauty, sparkling with colorful spectacle. Brimming with gay music and delightful new songs. Filled with fascinating new Disney characters.
I wonder.
You'll meet lovely Princess Briar Rose.
I wonder why each little bird has a someone to sing to.
Hot boy! You'll meet handsome Prince Philip. And Samson is noble steed.
Whoa!
meet the most delightful fairies who ever wafted a magic wand. Flora.
Follow me.
Fauna. And Merryweather. You'll share the fun with King Stefan and King Hubert. And you'll see Maleficent work her wondrous witchcraft.
Stand back, you fools!
The fine art of animation becomes magnificent entertainment as Walt Disney brings one of the world's favorite stories to the screen. It's filled with magical fun. It's spectacular in its beauty. And there's adventure to excite every emotion.
Watch out,
villain! No, it cannot be!
So that was the original trailer. It's about 3 minutes. It was 10 years in the making. One of the directors had a heart attack in that time.
Yeah, it was plagued with problems. Oh, dear.
Disney didn't know what to do. He wanted those same elements. So they bring in, instead of having six fairies or seven fairies, it's the three fairies. Makes sense. That's good.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Narrow it down.
Yeah.
Narrow
it down. That's okay.
The problem, so when they were creating this, the original drawings, they would take ballet dancers and different people and have them pirouetting and stuff. So that way they knew what it would look like in motion.
This is before motion capture.
Right.
Like, you know, people didn't have the suits. They would film people doing, and this is famously what they did. Yeah, for Snow, it was like the innovative thing for Snow White was that they filmed an actual actress that, you know, did all the little dance moves and then they animated that. And the animation is, you know, it's...
It goes back and forth for me.
Yeah, there are moments where you're like, oh, it's that same classic Disney. And other moments you're like, what is this?
They're trying to do Art Deco and they're mixing
that. Is this a storyboard?
Yeah. They're mixing it up. One of the people that... The problem with the story... First, like you said, the music is pretty bad. I mean, it opens with just this cheesy, bad music. And then the whole thing is that here's this really pretty princess and everybody loves her because she's pretty and she's a baby. And okay. The problem with this movie is that Maleficent shows up. And one of the people they talk to was a woman named Mela Nurmi. She played Vampyra in 55 in L.A., and she's in the movie Ed Wood. Like, she was the original. You think Elvira, that's where Elvira got her look. This was goth.
Oh, yes.
Goth. This woman was stunning.
A pioneer.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
I put a clip in the Facebook group. She's so funny. Like, she would talk about these terrible movies, and then she had these really bad puns, and she just...
It's totally Elvira shtick.
Very.
I mean, Elvira is very openly ripping off Vampyra.
Vampyra was it. And that she was one of those people they looked at when they're trying to decide, then we have to make her brunette. If the princess is a blonde, the other, we're brunettes. We know this. Growing up, we know that they're always, you know, anyway.
We're the evil ones.
We always are. Maleficent shows up and they just worked extra. I think she's so beautiful, first of all, and she's so striking.
It's again, you know, especially because especially up to that point, the animation is very clunky. Like Margot said, very spotty, you know, in moments it's fabulous. It's brilliant. At other moments you're like, did they run out of time? What are we doing here? And so when Maleficent shows up and she is so beautifully animated and designed, and just that she has a whole like aesthetic and her voice and her manicure and the whole package. Yeah, you can't take your eyes off her.
And she's got the crow on her shoulder, and she's, I mean, she's dope. I mean, the other one's like, we're going to make her pretty. We're going to make her like music. And Maleficent's like, I'm going to make her die when she's 16. And then she takes off like that. It's fabulous. And then I'm like, what's her story? What's this all about? And we never really find out.
No, you don't. You're just like, she's just mean.
She's just what? Really mean.
That really, though, really. Okay.
I mean, and like you said, sometimes I like the Art Deco look of it sometimes when it really kind of leans into that. I think that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I think it works.
I think it's great.
It's just, you know, I just feel like because it took 10 years, and I get why it takes 10 years, you know, the amount of, you know, even now it takes them years to do these movies. I think, you know, unfortunately, it was a 10 years where the American aesthetic changed dramatically from, you know, a 30s, you know, look, very detailed, very realistic, hyper realistic, to a more modernist, you know, 60s, mid-century look. And so I think it's, you know, it's in an awkward stage between those two looks. I think they did both. I think that when they went full into the modern, I think they did it super well. Mm-hmm. You know, like It's a Small World, I think, is so like beautifully designed. It's totally that. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, the Snow White, where everything is so beautifully detailed and so realistic. And so I do think it's kind of awkwardly trying to straddle that. You know, if it had stayed with that Snow White kind of aesthetic, it would have looked dated. It wouldn't have looked right. And yet they weren't ready to go completely into the modern. So, we have these like weird kind of animation growing pains that we're watching unfold. But Maleficent is
stunning.
Just
a badass.
Extraordinary.
She is. Yeah. So when she leaves, we're stuck with Belle. And so Belle is then not kidnapped, but she's taken by the fairies into the woods. And they're like, we're going to raise you. And they're not going to use their wands ever.
We're not told why.
Never, no. And none of them know how to cook and clean. In the 16 years you were raising her, you didn't know how to learn any skills.
We didn't pick any of that up.
No. And then she goes to the woods, and that's where she says, I got a fella. And she's singing, like, just like Snow White, she's singing to the animals. And they're like, well, who? And of course, the owl says, who? I mean, after a while, I'm like, okay, we get the joke. Okay. But a guy shows up, and he's Prince Philip. And actually, he's based on Prince Philip in England, who was very popular at the time.
Have you seen Prince Philip when he came on the scene? I mean, whoa, yeah, smoking hot.
Yeah.
But again, I wish they couldn't do this because it's Disney, and Disney can't not, he can't just let it be the Tchaikovsky music. I wish they had just let it be the music. Just play the music, and she can be humming. She doesn't need to sing these corny, horrible lyrics. The lyrics are so bad. They're so terrible.
It's distracting.
It's distracting, and it really ruins the music.
Yeah.
It's so not the Sherman Brothers.
Sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you.
Oh, it wasn't that. It's just that you're a
stranger?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you remember? We've met before.
We have?
Well, of course. You said so yourself. Once upon a dream. I know.
with you once upon a dream. I know you, the gleam in your eyes is so familiar.
Really, it's not the Sherman Brothers on their worst day. It is real bad. And it's so bad that it ruins this beautiful Tchaikovsky music. I mean, the music is so gorgeous. You could have just let it play.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we just do that? She could be humming.
Yeah.
Let her do some humming. He could be wooed by her humming.
But he,
I don't know.
But he's smitten. They're smitten with each other because they dreamed about each other. So there you go. Okay.
There you are.
It's a fairy tale. Fine. And this movie's only an hour and 15 minutes, but it sometimes feels...
It's longer.
I know. Some of you love this. I'm sorry. We love the Maleficent parts. Every time she shows up...
Oh, totally. There's a lot of really good things about this movie.
Good.
But it is confusing. Mm-hmm. There are gaping plot holes. It's not a christening, for one thing. Why isn't it a christening? If we're in medieval times, of course it's going to be a christening. Of course they're going to be Catholic. But okay, lots of things that just don't make any sense. Why would Maleficent, she just shows up to kill a baby? I don't understand.
The queen just
You don't just
says.
Do that. I don't care. You don't just do that.
Yeah. Well, we have no backstory with her. We don't understand what her beef is, so we don't understand why she's so upset. She just seems like she was pissed because she wasn't invited. But and then the queen, like, are you offended? We're sorry if we offended you. And that's when she turns around like, ah.
Yeah. Which, again, in the book, it's like a real slight. In the book, it's a series of slights. So by the time she gets to that point where she lays down the curse, you get it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, totally. But this is like, you went to all the trouble of showing up at a place where you weren't invited to... It's hard. It's a big ask of the audience, I feel. I don't know. You know, there's the whole thing about the kids being betrothed when she's a baby.
Yeah.
A little unsettling.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think that really bothered me when I was a kid. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that don't make sense. Why don't they know how to sweep? Okay, you
or
can't
cook.
Make an evening gown. You can't sweep. Who can't sweep?
Who can't cook? Basics. Like, that's all you've been doing for 16 years. You're not watching your shows. You're taking care of this baby who's turning into a young adult. I don't know. But she does, on her 16th birthday, Maleficent shows up at a castle and is able to hypnotize her, which is another thing about the 50s, like a thing that people were talking about more.
Yes, as part of this whole a psychoanalysis interest in psychology, pop psychology and in the popular culture, just like we were talking about last time with the bad seed. Yeah, hypnosis was a big theme.
Yeah.
And people thought you could hypnotize somebody into doing anything.
Defeat me! Jade, the mistress of all evil. Well, here's your precious princess.
I really do love that scene. The green glow.
It's one of the better animated sections of the movie for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so she puts her under this spell and the prince does come and kiss her and then he's trying to rescue her. And that's when Maleficent is fighting him back. And the fairies finally use their wands for good, like to put up a fight. But this is what that scared me when I was a kid, is Maleficent all of a sudden turns into a dragon and she's like, he's fighting the dragon. And that terrified me when I was a kid.
But also one of the things I think I found so terrifying was it just didn't make any sense. And I think I knew the story because I had the book, right? I had that book of the original story. And so I knew that so unlike the book, again, in the book, she pricks her finger and she falls asleep. The whole castle falls asleep for 100 years. 100 years. So long that like thorns grow up around the castle and people forget that it was ever even there, you know, and this other prince comes along. And whereas in the movie, she pricks her finger, she falls asleep later that day. As far as I can tell, it's like the same day. Right? She's asleep for like a few hours.
She had beauty sleep.
That. Yeah. She took a little disco nap.
Yeah, she took a disco nap. And then she woke up and a guy was like all ready to fight to the death for her. And
yeah.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
And that's the movie. And it got...
No ogres.
Yeah. No.
No cannibalistic grandma ogre.
It got mixed reviews, and for the very things that we're talking about, I mean, just like it just seems a little bit of a mishmash. The music isn't that great. The animation is just sort of, it comes and goes. It just doesn't have that consistent vision like a normal Disney project does, especially if they took 10 years to make it. I mean, but it only did okay. The thing with Disney is you just repackage it and wait about 10 years.
Oh, yeah. We're not bothered by that. That's not going to stop us. You're going to love this movie. Oh yeah? How about now? You're going to love it now. How about on DVD with bonus features? I don't want to seem like we're crapping all over this movie because there's a lot of really great stuff in this movie. And all of the Maleficent stuff is by far and away, like, those are all the best segments. It's scary because it's well done. You know, when she turns into a dragon, it's really frightening. I really like all the stuff with the fairies. I think the characters of the fairies, I love them. I forgot how much I liked them. Mm-hmm. Each one has her own little personality, and they're the bossy one and the Flibbertigibbet one. And it's great. But just, again, my main thing is, the lyrics. I mean, I don't know why we had to do that. Why did we have to? As a fan of Tchaikovsky, I don't get what were you doing? What was that meeting, Walt, where you decided that was the way to go? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's really my main beef. And also, as much as I love Maleficent, we get no, like,
backstory.
Why are you doing this? There's no backstory. Snow White, like, we get why the evil, you know, why the evil queen, she's jealous of her. Like, she has a whole backstory. Cinderella, there's a whole backstory there. All of them. But Maleficent's just like, I'm evil.
I'm just bad to the bone.
Say goodbye to your baby.
Enjoy here for 16 years. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
And I should say, for that reason, and also, again, it scared me. It scared me as a kid. And the things that scared me weren't just that Maleficent was scary. It was stuff like the baby is going to engage to be married to this boy who's like way older than her. Mm-hmm. You know, just like weird things. And everybody's excited, but she didn't ask. Nobody asked her if she wanted to marry this guy. This is the thing you arranged so your countries could have an alliance. And we're all supposed to be excited about that. Why are we excited? Anyway, you can imagine me as a child. These are things I thought about and they frightened me. And so for that reason, I never saw Maleficent until this week. I never saw that movie until this week. And I feel cheated that I could have been enjoying that movie all these last, 7 years. Mm-hmm. I could have had a favorite Disney movie and character to root for. And I didn't have that. I loved that movie. Yeah. It was great. I thought that story makes sense. That story actually makes sense. It's great.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't in the original story, so they had to just come up. They just came up with a witch. That's all they could think to do.
Right. And she's just And also, she's for some reason, she's a witch. She's not a fairy. In the book, she's a fairy. Mm-hmm. She's a fairy like the other fairies. She's just a little older and therefore invisible. But I loved Maleficent.
Yeah. With Angelina Jolie, we should say.
With Angelina Jolie, who's killing it.
Wow. I mean, the perfect choice.
She is as beautiful as that animated character in that movie. Stunning. And I mean, just every detail. And there's a lot of things to like in this movie. There definitely are a lot of elements that are really good and that do work. But I think it's just at an awkward time mm-hmm. in the culture.
Yeah.
Mainly.
Yeah. All right. So book versus movie.
See, now I'm torn. I love this book, but I don't love this movie. I just don't. But I love Maleficent, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't love Maleficent if I hadn't seen that movie. So toss up. And the book, like the whole stuff with the ogre, walk away, you're like, what's my takeaway here? I don't know. So they're both confusing.
Beats me.
Can I vote for the ballet?
Yes. You can vote for Maleficent if you want.
I vote for the ballet and Maleficent.
I concur.
I'm team Maleficent.
Yeah, I concur.
I loved that story. I thought that was such... I loved that story. It's so well thought out. And I'm so mad I didn't see it sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Like I said, it's... But, you know, Sleeping Beauty, she will always be a Disney princess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's just she's not always the most part of, interesting part of the culture. One.
She's just not the most interesting one, sadly. No. And, you know, it's not her fault. She just didn't get much of a backstory. And not the book, not the movie. I'm for the ballet and the spinoff. But that was super fun. Like, to learn about Charles Perrault, I did not know. Yeah. I had heard of him. I had no idea. I had no idea that he was such a big player in the whatever they call that period in French history. You know, he was in the court of Louis XIV. Mm-hmm. He was the one, Charles Perrault was the one who said, hey, King Louis, Sun King, maybe you should make these beautiful Tuileries gardens available for the public to see. Maybe they shouldn't just be for you. His brother, Charles Perrault's brother, designed what we think of as the Louvre. Mm-hmm.
They were the bourgeoisie.
Quite the mover and shaker.
Yeah.
And then he retires, you know, he's already old for that time. He's already lived quite a long time. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna write those stories down just for funsies. Just invent Mother Goose. That's what I'm going to do now. It's really impressive.
I'm getting that accent again. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just the ballet. Maleficent and Charles Perrault.
Yeah, so it was great. I really loved learning about all of it. It was a really fun week. So what are we doing next? I'm dying to hear which one we're doing next.
I'm thinking Beauty and the Beast. I know. It's easy to get.
Did you see that documentary about the animators?
Oh, I've seen all of them.
During that era?
Oh, yeah. I have the Disney Channel. I've seen
so
everything.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
I think it'd be interesting because here we have a princess that's not very interesting, not very thoughtful. I mean, she's okay. She's fine.
The Beast, who's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Belle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
Yep. So that's what we're going to do next. And please follow us on all the things social media wise. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me online at coloniabook.com and all of my social media callouts are at She's Nacho Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me at Brooklyn Fit Chick for Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. And everybody have a great Disney November. We'll be back soon with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags Lady Pod Squad and Potter Family. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, go to PATREON, and look for Book vs. Movie podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's Book vs. Movie Podcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. You could follow Margot D. at Brooklyn Fit Chick on social media and Margot P. at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.